Blog Talk Radio. welcome, family. Hello, everyone out there, and I'm going to say hola, too, because we got a very dynamic gentleman coming on tonight by the name of Brother Manuel Gomez out of New York, and he's going to give you his story. But he wrote a book called Crime and Punishment, and he's going to be a guest after Miss Gayla Gibson, along with Brother Ishmael Shabazz, and, of course, beloved Rashad El Amin and Brother Michael Collins will be co-hosting. All right. So, by the way, it'll be a forum, and we have a lot to speak on imprisonment. Unfortunately, disproportionately Latino and Black youth are affected. And as you well know, family, you still have people sitting, can't afford a bail, been sitting for months at a time, and just unfortunately, and it's a nonviolent crime. So. Brother Gomez is very powerful, and so is Brother Shabazz, and they'll be interviewed by us, all right? So if you got any hard-headed nephews or nieces or even older ones, tell them to tune in, all right? But anyway, without further ado, we're going to welcome back our dear beloved sister from Pattersonian, New Jersey, and very good friend of mine and has a wealth of information, Miss Gayla Gibson.
Thank you, Forrest. And good evening, my podcast family. I am Gayla, and it feels as though I've been missing in action for quite a while. As a rule, my emphasis is on the valuable importance of diagnostic testing, and the kinds of tests, blood and urine tests, that zero in on the status of the cellular level inside of each of us. Tonight, I'm going to segue into a food that has become thoroughly out of control when added to the food we consume. Sugar, S-U-G-A-R, or as my late departed friend called it, sweet cocaine. In my family, there are 5 generations of diabetics. Therefore, man's science says that I'm endowed with the gene of diabetes. But in my years of trying to analyze the whys and hows of this horrible disease, I've come to the conclusion and the realization it's not a diabetic gene per se. It's 5 generations of continually eating the sugary foods that cause diabetes to develop throughout our bodies. You see, I made up my mind 25 years ago that I would never, ever become a diabetic. And if I actually had this mysterious diabetic gene, I would never feed it or give it the nourishment needed for it to vigorously grow. And what is that nourishment or food of choice? Man-refined sugar, or sweet cocaine. How I initially stopped eating it was simply by not buying it for my home. The remaining sugar that was inside my cabinets had to be given away and replaced with raw honey as my sweetness of choice. Now, if the label doesn't say raw, then don't buy it. The reason why I say raw honey, it's the unprocessed and unheated honey that contains all the healing properties from the bees that created it. If you Google foods that Jesus the Christ ate, he and the disciples did not eat man-refined sugar. There was no diabetes when Jesus and the disciples walked the earth. Raw honey, as well as a variety of pure, healthy foods, will be listed. The foods that we eat are drowning in sweet sugar and are converted to toxic, poisonous, sugary disruptors while being broken down inside our digestive tract. This is how diabetes develops inside our bodies. Now, in order to escape the dire pitfalls of the damaging effects of diabetes, you have to stop buying sugar and start reading the ingredients on the product labels. Usually the first or second ingredient is sugar. Be aware of what you put on the end of your fork or spoon whenever you're eating at home or at a restaurant. I want to share with you a little history of how sugar got its start and how it's made. Okay, sugar, defined as refined sucrose, C12H22011. This is the scientific table breakdown. Is produced by multiple chemical processing of the juice of the sugar cane or beet. This chemical process strips and removes all fiber and protein, which amounts to 90% of the natural plant. I will repeat that. This damaging chemical process strips and removes all the fiber and protein from the sweet cane sugar, which amounts to 90% of the natural plant. From the Garden of Eden through thousands of years, what we call sugar was unknown to man. Man evolved and survived without it. None of the ancient books make mention of it. The prophets tell us a few things about the status of sweet cane in ancient times. It was a rare luxury, imported from far away and very, very expensive. The far countries that sweet cane might have come from may have been Africa or India. It seemed to have been native to tropical climates. If countries outside the tropical belt tried to cultivate it, they apparently had little success. Now, in ancient India, they grew it in their backyards and started chewing on it for its sweetness. Then a decade or so later, they began pressing the cane and drinking the juice in the same way the American Indians tapped the maple trees to make syrup. When my mother was first diagnosed as a diabetic, while she was in her 40s in the 1970s, her endocrinologist, that's a specialist that treats diabetes, gave her a specific diet which stated clearly no sugar. Today, they don't do that for some reason. There's really no importance in telling a patient who is diabetic that refined sugar should immediately be removed from the daily consumption of food intake. Why? Because there is no money for big pharma in wellness, only in illness. The brain is probably the most sensitive organ in the body. The difference between feeling up or down, sane or insane, calm or freaked out, inspired or depressed depends in large amount of what we put in our mouth. The amount of glucose in the blood must balance with the amount of blood oxygen. The late endocrinologist and author Dr. E.M. Abrahamson, who wrote the book entitled Body, Mind, and Sugar, states a condition in which the blood sugar level is relatively low or too high tends to starve the body's cells, especially in our brains. They become chronically undernourished. When we eat sugar, the brain registers it first. Hormones pour out from the adrenal glands in order to hold down the glucose overload level. This also affects the hormones of the pancreas. In fact, all the hormonal glands proceed at an emergency pace. The bottom drops out of the blood glucose level. All of this is reflected in how we actually feel internally. Man-refined sugar is only a quick energy, not lasting pickup. However, the energy is succeeded by the downs and lows of your mental and physical state. If we continue eating sugar and sugar-laden foods, the diabetes starts to affect every organ inside our body. Eyesight, blindness occurs. Kidney failure, dialysis occurs. Brain, forms of dementia occur. Poor circulation, causing toe, foot, and leg amputations. The destruction of your temple becomes a never-ending story. I once went to a lecture on sugar blues, and the person speaking said, and I quote, "Diabetes is like chewing and swallowing chopped up glass. As it makes its way throughout your body, it's cutting up and destroying all your internal organs." Now, wow. I felt that was a profoundly powerful statement then as well as now. Getting back to the history of sugar, sugar and slavery were two sides of the same coin within the Portuguese realm. By 1456, the Portuguese had control of the European sugar trade. However, Spain was not far behind. On Christopher Columbus's second voyage to the New World, he took along hunks of sugar at the suggestion of Queen Isabella of Spain. Upon arriving to the island Hispaniola, which at that time was Haiti and the Dominican Republic all together as one island, Christopher Columbus suggested transporting West Indian natives back to Spain to work in the cane fields that the Moors had left behind. But the great anti-slavery and humanitarian Queen Isabella said no. But Christopher Columbus still loaded the West Indian natives on his ship and brought them back anyway. The Queen ordered them to be returned back to their homeland. And of course you know probably what happened and where they wound up, sadly, and what they were doing. Sugar pushing had become so profitable by 1660 that the British were ready to go to war to maintain their control. The stigma of slavery was on sugar everywhere. Around 1858, the chemists had figured out how to completely, overly refine and destroy all the nutrients of sugar cane. Before this time, sugar was much, much purer and healthier to eat than it is now. According to Dr. Robert Bosler, a New Jersey dentist in 1912, wrote in the publication Clinical Science, and I quote, "Modern manufacturing of sugar has brought about entirely new diseases. The sugar of commerce is nothing else but concentrated, crystallized acid. I'll repeat. The sugar of commerce is nothing else but concentrated, crystallized acid. If, in former times, sugar was so costly that only the wealthy could afford to use it, it was from the national economic standpoint of no consequences. But today, when, because of its low cost, sugar has caused a degeneration of the people, it is time to insist on a general enlightenment of the knowledge of sugar's damages. The loss of energy through the consumption of sugar in the last century and the first decade of this century can never be made good, as it has left its mark on the race. Alcohol has been used for thousands of years and has never caused the degeneration of a whole race. Alcohol does not contain destructive acids." And what they're saying is they're comparing refined processed sugar to alcohol, and they're saying sugar is worse than alcohol with the destructive acids that are added to its composition. What has been destroyed by sugar is lost and cannot be recovered, end of quote. Now, as I said before, in order to remove yourself from the sugar addiction, you first have to be hungry to make a change. This is a huge undertaking that will be life-changing. You must garner up some self-control and some discipline. It all starts in your mind and in your heart. Just like all other addictions, such as smoking and drinking, sugar addiction has to be monitored when you're cooking and when you're grocery shopping, etc. There are so many sugar-free products out there. For instance, breads, pasta, spaghetti sauces, desserts, ice creams, soups, and so forth. You may have to change the brand of foods you're accustomed to buying. But remember, it's all for a better life and a health-conscious improvement. Learn to eat more foods that don't require a lot of gravy or sauces. If you like to use bouillon cubes or chicken broth, both come in sugar-free packaging. Eat. Learn to eat more raw fruits and vegetables, and try repeating this mantra over and over. This is what I did when I first skipped the habit or got rid of the habit of sugar eating. I'd say to myself, I am sugar-free, no longer an addict. I am sugar-free, no longer an addict. And there are wonderful books out there that you need to keep handy in order to refer back to whenever you kind of weaken and fall into a slump and a serious sugar starvation habit. Books such as Sugar Blues by William Dusty, which is my personal favorite go-to support mechanism. Those of you who are faith-based, there are two powerful books that will help you stay strong in your quest. One is God Wants You Well by Beth M. Lay, L-E-Y, Beth M. Lay, and The Disciples' Diet by Dr. Chris D. Miletus and Kimberly Wilkes. Podcast family, please, please make a promise to yourself that you are going to remove yourself from your sugar addiction now. Listen to your body talking to you. Get tested for the hemoglobin A1C blood test and learn what your numbers are. The pre-diabetes category is 5.7 to 6.5. 5.7 to 6.5. Anything over 6.5 is a full-blown diabetic level. There's a television commercial that proudly touts that their medication, I can't even remember the name of the medication, will keep your numbers under 7.5. which is utterly, utterly ridiculous because you are still at 7.5 or 7.4 or 7.3. You are still a full-blown diabetic. So stop listening to and internalizing that hype. Aim. Put your focus on not being a diabetic at all. Work on that behalf. Stop eating sugar. Get tested, your A1C in the 5.5 point area range. There's so many things, family, that you can do. So, as always, it is a pleasure to share knowledge of health conscious living because truly God wants all of us well. Podcast family, I want you to stay safe and focus on being the steward of your temple of the Holy Spirit in the way that the Creator intended for you to do. You make the change now. Don't wait for the enemy sugar to make irreversible changes inside your body. You owe your internal organs respect and much love. So now I'm coming to my close, but I will speak with you again on the first Saturday in the new year of 2022. So Forrest, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me, Gayla?
Yes. I mean, I know you have an event to go to this evening.
Well, yeah, but I got to bring on my little powerful little form, and then you just warm them up. You warm them up because we're about to do the thing with this brother Gomez and brother Michael, brother Rashad, brother Giorgio out of Atlanta, and brother Michael Collins. So we're about to do a little forum thing, yeah, you know.
Fabulous.
So now you can kick back and bust open the popcorn and some apple juice and listen in and hear what they're talking about, prison reform.
What a topic of discussion. It's long overdue. We need to hear the truth.
Yes.
It's so powerful.
And for future reference, the climate situation too, because that we ain't going to be able to talk about nothing once this planet blows up, because that's the way it's heading, man.
I know.
There's all this fracking and all this crazy stuff going on, you know. But Gayla, once again, I just want to thank you for coming on, family. When Gayla's ready, she's going to give us a whole hour. She's going to let me know when she likes to give you an album. As you can see, she has a wealth of information, and she can extend it whenever she's ready. Right now, she just wants to take a little 30 minutes, so that's cool. So I want to thank you for coming on, Ms. Gayla Gibson. And like you said, we'll see the beginning of the year, because January the 1st, if I'm not, I don't know if this on, yeah, that falls on a Saturday, Gayla, believe it or not.
I know.
You know? So we're going to start
Christmas
the new year right by listening to Gayla.
Absolutely.
You know?
Getting off the sugar and keeping our diets tight and healthy.
Yes, most definitely. So we're gonna take a little break.
Okay.
And peace and blessings to you, Ms. Gayla. You know I'll be in contact with you.
Definitely.
We'll be right back with our forum for the industrial prison system and some powerful people coming on. Thank you once again, Ms. Gayla, and we'll be right back, family.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye, dear. Wow, I'm really on time tonight, boy. Everybody's coming on and leaving. Hold on for a minute, family. Hold on for a minute. Hold on.
Yeah, Forrest, we have everybody on the line. Brother Rashad, you here?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
You hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Brother Michael.
Hey, family, I'm back. Sorry about that.
No, I'm here. I just was checking to see if everybody was in.
Okay. Do we have 6242?
I don't see that one yet. We have,
not yet.
We have Rashad, Michael, 2410, and the guest. I don't see the guest number yet.
Okay, I'm gonna have to click over. Are we live right now? I'm up backstage.
Yes, we live. You want to go to some music?
Yeah, just some music and family. We'll be right back. We're gonna make a quick call.
Okay.
Okay.
Peace. And at this point, all nonsense cease. All chains and shackles must be released. Mental slavery controlled by the beast. Afrocentricity we got to teach. Respect for all people has got to increase. Let's dismiss all these myths and walk in peace. First you must wake up, wiser, rise up. Open your eyes and get fired up. You've been sleeping too long, your life is passing you by. You need to open your eyes, man, to realize that life is but a dream, or so it seems. But nothing comes to a dreamer but a dream. So open up your mind, let your mind be free. Take it to the next level, the highest degree. Yes, open up your mind, let your mind be free. Let your brain be your life for the world to see. But love it. Beloved, this is my prayer for you because I care for you. I just want you to understand all you've been through, because I've been there too. I know sometimes things get real thick, man. You want to throw up your hands and call it quits. I mean, you're frustrated, aggravated, so uptight.
Yeah.
People in the world just won't treat you right. It's like nobody cares, nobody understands. You want to live your own life, be your own man, free. Put your mind at ease. Get hip to these prophecies and maintain, do the right thing. By all means, show your self-esteem. Push forward and strive for the dream. Put mind over matter, not matter over mind. Wake up while you still have time. And acknowledge the knowledge and let knowledge be born. Because if you want to get ahead, you got to be strong. For love.
Be loved.
praises to the Most High, the Most High, the Blessed High. Keep our visions clear as we're looking through this third eye.
Okay, family, we're back. We're back. All right. Are we there? Okay, Rashad, you there, brother? Brother Rashad.
Yes.
Okay, my brother, there you go. Brother Michael.
One. I'm here.
Okay, Brother Ishmael.
I'm here.
Okay, and last but not least, Brother Giorgio, you there?
1-2-1-2.
There you go. All right. Family, we have our strong brothers on, along with Brother Manuel, and I told him he wanted me to do the bio. I said nobody can do a bio like yourself. Brother Manuel, you there, brother?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you now. All right, brother. This is my podcast audience. They're listening. This is Brother Manuel Gomez, and he has something very pertinent to say to the podcast audience. Brother's very powerful in what he does over in New York. And like I said, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at. But anyway, Brother Manuel, could you please give the podcast audience your bio, brother? Then we're going to proceed with the question and answer in the forum. Go right ahead, my brother.
Sure. I'm a retired military intelligence officer from the 18th Airborne. Used to work with the 7th Special Forces. I'm a Desert Storm veteran, Afghanistan veteran. I also worked as a contractor for a company which they known as an infamous company named Blackwater as a dignitary protection leader for Ambassador Cunningham in Afghanistan. On top of that, I was also an NYPD police officer for 14 years, and now I have become a private investigator, and I have now have the ability to give the justice that I could not give as a cop. Now I give as a private investigator, and I have freed over 140 in 10 different states who have been falsely arrested, and during this process, I have uncovered corruption, and the most powerful corruption, which no one talks about, and that's the corrupt judges and prosecutors within our state. Are you there, brother? Hello?
862.
Can you hear me?
I'm stunned by your resume.
Can you hear me? I don't know what happened.
Can you hear me, sir?
Everybody is in. Everybody in is supposed to be in. I think. I don't know about Farz. Rashad is in.
Yes, Rashad. Good evening, Mr. Gomez. We thank you for being on this podcast this evening. Could you give us more information about these corrupt judges? Hello.
Sure. Yeah, I want to tell everybody out there, if you get a chance, this podcast we're doing tonight is something serious, as he does on all his podcasts, but I need everybody to go get a pen and paper, because tonight we're going to educate you and give you information that the nation needs, all right? And one of the things I'm going to give you now is I'm going to give you my website so you can pull up the bills that I've written, which is the Truthfulness and Decision Act, which will bring about accountability on corrupt judges. Because currently in the United States, judges on the state level have immunity. So that means that if I'm a state judge and I do a case, like a very famous case you all might be familiar with, Now You See Us, which was on the Central Park Five on the five young black males who were wrongfully arrested for a rape, and incarcerated for 20 years. Well, nothing happened to the prosecutor that falsified the case, and nothing happened to the judge who looked the other way and didn't let the evidence come into the case. What did happen was 20 years later, the kids were proven innocent, and guess what happened? The taxpayers paid $40 million, rightfully so, to these five kids. But the bottom line was nothing happened to the judges. So as I've been working as a private investigator, I've been finding hundreds of black and Hispanic and white judges who've just been destroying lives. And in all my cases, I have 140 cases, 68 of them are African American. And after those 68 cases, I've had 20 black judges who don't know Black Lives Matter or any life matters. Okay, so a perfect example of the case I have, Jaya Neal was the son of a black Baptist minister, and the judge, Kenneth Holder, who's had 28 of his cases, and let me say that name again, Judge Kenneth Holder from Queens has had 28 of his cases overturned by the appellate court for not following the rules of the law, for being biased, and for making false statements. Now I want to ask your public out there, how many cases do you think it takes for a judge to have overturned for biasness and corruption before he gets removed? And I'm going to tell you the answer. There is no limit.
No limit, yeah.
There is no limit. I have a judge now, Judge Michael Alois from Queens, a white guy. And guess what he is? He's got 47 cases overturned by the appellate court for being corrupt and for not following the letter of the law and for being biased and favoring the prosecution. 47 of his cases were overturned. 47. Now, my new legislation, the Truthfulness and Decision Act, okay, will bring about an accountability to judges and take away their total immunity and give what I call qualified immunity. Qualified immunity means a judge will only get immunity sued if he can show that done in good conscience and that he was following the letter of the law or the letter of the law was not clear. But if that judge is shown to have been biased and not following the law and violating people's civil rights like these so many other judges have, guess what? Now we're going to get rid of them. So like in baseball, three strikes, you're out. Well, in my bill, if you get three cases overturned for not following the letter of the law, you are automatically put in front of the Judiciary Committee in Congress or the Senate, okay? And then if you get the fourth case, you're brought before them, okay? And you're brought before them to be evaluated if you are to be terminated. And then if you get a fifth case overturned, now you're automatically removed. Because I'm going to tell you, five cases is a clear pattern. Okay? Mm-hmm. Five times that you've had cases overturned for you not following the letter of the law. Let me tell you, the most powerful people in our country is not the president. It's not the senators. It's not the governor. It is the judges and the prosecutors because they have the ability to take away your freedom. And they do it to hundreds and thousands of people every freaking day. And this is the battle that I fight. But you see, there's one thing that makes America great. There is no country that is perfect. But what makes America great is this one thing that we have. It's called the First Amendment. And I want you people to write this word down. RASPP. I'm going to say it again. RASPP. That means RASP. Freedom of religion. R. Freedom of assembly, A. Freedom of speech, S. Freedom of P, press. But here's the last P that everybody forgets. Freedom to petition the government to correct the grievance. In essence, what that means is every damn American, man or woman, black, white, Hispanic, yellow, green, doesn't matter what color you are, if you're an American, you have the right to write a bill to correct an injustice, to change the system. This is why George Washington and all these guys wrote that Constitution. Why? So that we could have that right. And that's what makes America different from any country in the world, is that a simple American can make that change. But the problem I have, we got all these people going, no justice, no peace, marching in the street, flipping cars. No, brothers and sisters, we got to stop that. We have to have focused demonstrations like Martin Luther King. Malcolm X said it best, knowledge is power. He came, the reason why they feared him the most at the end was because he was so powerful in knowing his rights. And so was Martin Luther King. Because even Malcolm realized Martin was right. You have to have focused demonstrations with legislation, legislative demonstration, legislative change. We have to do that. You know, There's no more days of demonstrations like Rosa Parks. Imagine if all the blacks and Hispanics in America right now said, screw you, we're not going to get on the bus, and we're not going to ride the train, and we're not going to take Metro North if you don't give us this legislative change. Do you know how many trillions, and I'm going to say that again, trillions of dollars they would lose if we didn't take the buses or trains? They would give us the legislative change we want like this in a millisecond. The problem is, we don't have that backing now. Our people are not focused like it was in the 50s. The days of King are over, but I'm trying to bring it back. I'm trying to bring it back through this legislation. And that's why I ask you all, take this name down, Black Ops Private Investigators. And I'm going to say it again, Black Ops, OPS Private Investigators. Go on my website, go on where it says legislation, and click on that link. And you will see the bills that I have written. And you know why I put those bills up? I put them as a PDF so that every one of you in America can use that bill as a template to make that bill a law in your state. See, my goal is this. I'm trying to bring the Truthfulness and Decision Act to every state. I want it like McDonald's. Whatever state you go to, you get the same Big Mac. Wherever state you go to, you'll get the same justice. It's not going to be, well, you're in Washington and the law is different here. Or you're in Virginia. We don't do shit like that like you do in New York. No, no, no. The law must be continually the same, equal justice across the nation. That is what I'm trying to make, a legal franchise giving the same amount of justice across the board. Let me let you know now. The reason why I work so hard is because my son is of color. And my son has been stopped by walking while being black. But you want to know something? The reason why my son was better off than most of these other kids is because his father was me, and I gave him a spy watch. So when that cop stopped him and said, we're looking for a black man, and my son said, but what's the probable cause for stopping me? He said, what's the description? He's a black man. All right, but what's the description, officer? I kept saying he's a black man. My son caught all that on video. What did the city do? They paid my son $100,000. But you want to know something? They didn't give my son justice. They gave him a check and said, here's the money. Shut up and get out of here. I told my son, don't worry. Daddy's going to write the law. And that's the problem. They keep writing us checks. Even the young brothers now don't even realize that they got every time they get stopped by a cop. I want you to say, what's the probable cause? This is Christmas time, everyone. Do me a favor and write this down. Spy Watch. Again, Spy Watch. I want you to go on spyassociate.com. Buy it. It's $100. Again, the name of the site you can go on, spyassociate.com. Spend $100 on yourself. Buy the watch. Press record without them knowing. You can record. And I'm going to tell you something, because you never want it to be your word against theirs. You always want it to be your video against their lie. This is why they fear me. This is why I'm the most feared investigator in the East Coast. Because when I walk into court, my motto is, you lost. Because I've already come here with the video. This is how I've won 140 cases, and I have not lost one. Why? Because it's never my word against theirs. It's always my video against their lie. And you see, they don't see me coming. Because I come in with a $1,000 suit looking sharp, and they look at this guy and they says, is this a white guy or is he Italian? He's Spanish? We don't know what he is. Is he a lawyer? And I walk in smiling. They don't know I'm already recording them. All right? Because that's how I hammer them. And this is what I'm asking the public to do the same. Join me. Get side by side and let's push these bills together. I put them on my website so you people can go to your states. And if you want to write a bill, don't Google it. Do what I did. Go to the damn library and say, how do I write a bill? And if you don't get the help there, call me, 347-867-6242. 347-867-6242. If I don't pick up the phone, brothers and sisters, call me like I owe you child support. Because I will pick up the phone.
You sure
text
will.
Text me. Text me, and that's what I'm about. And I'm sorry to keep it being so long-winded, but that was my intro into what I'm starting to do, this new bill. And another one is called the Hall of Justice. many of you young brothers or older brothers and sisters out there have heard of a movie called Serpico with Al Pacino. If you go on my website, you'll see the bill I wrote, Department of Civilian Justice, is with me and Frank Serpico to bring accountability over the cops, the police officers, the Department of Corrections, and the fire department. None of these people should be above the law. But you see, when you tell a senator, hey, should anybody be above the law? They say, yeah, of course, you're right. But that's not true. They are above the law. They deny people bail every day. They deny people their court paperwork. Do you know that I've got all these 140 cases, 139 prosecutors waiting to the last 2 days before the court to turn over their evidence to the defense? That's called document dumping. So that people can't defend themselves. This is the one thing that you people don't understand. And this is the one thing I uncovered as a private investigator. I've walked both sides of the fence, the side of the fence of a lawman. And then I saw how corrupt it was. The side of the fence of a PI. And then I really saw how corrupt it was. And then I saw something else. I saw that 25% minimum of our people in jail right now are innocent. I have freed these people because they were innocent. And I'm the only brother on the East Coast whose retainer says, on paragraph 9, I only take the cases of the innocent. Everybody that calls me, I tell them the same thing. If you ain't innocent, hang up the phone. But if you're innocent, I will go into hell on a heavenly quest to free you. And you say to me, why? Because I promised my son that I would bring justice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for talking. If anybody got any questions?
No. When I brought you on, brothers, as far as when I brought you on and said you have a platform and I got some brothers that will ask you questions and interview
sure,
you along
please.
With myself. But let me say this. Somebody in the background, I can hear your TV. Mute it, please, all right, because I can hear while the brother was talking. We need silencio,
okay.
Por favor, because of time. But anyway, Brother Ishmael, or Brother Rashad, anybody have a question to ask the brother or talk to him? Or it does have to be a question. You might want to relay something that you might feel is pertinent to what the brother said.
Yeah,
this is George.
Forrest, this is Rashad.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasure to meet you.
This is Rashad. Mr. Gomez, I want to first thank you for all that. Excuse me?
I said sorry about that. That was my TV.
Okay.
It's Manuel, please. We're all brothers
okay.
in the same fight here.
I hope you weren't watching Kojak.
Nah, not that brother.
Okay. Anyway, Mr. Gomez, I want to. Again, thank you for all that beautiful information you shared with us. I wanted to ask you about the spy watch and another question after that. The spy
sure.
watch, does it also have video or just audio?
It does night vision and video. They go for about $100. Don't buy, they have $50 ones, but don't buy a $50 one. Buy one that's $100 or more, a minimum of $100. I put you on Spy Associate because they have good watches for sale. And I recommend it to all my clients. And the reason why is because, like I said, if you're a brother of color or Latin, African-American, Spanish, whatever you are, you should have this watch. Why? Because like my mother taught me, it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it.
I have it.
And how many times
right,
has everybody been stopped out there for driving while being black? How many of you been stopped while walking while being black? How many of you been stopped? Because, I mean, look, I was in East New York. I'm a light-skinned Hispanic, and I got stopped by white cops because I was in a black neighborhood driving 3 miles an hour looking for parking. And when I asked the guy, I said, what are you stopping me for, officer? What's the probable cause? And then this is what he said. He said, don't effing worry about it. Just give me a license and insurance and registration. And I told him, I said, brother, you just spoke to the wrong guy. First of all, you're not going to talk to me like that. And second of all, I asked you what the probable cause, because I have the right to ask that. So if you're not going to tell me, you're not following the law. He says, you got a problem? I said, yeah, I got a problem. I'll take you out the car right now and arrest you for disorderly. This is what this brother's telling me. Now, I'm recording this the whole time. Then I pulled out my wallet, I pulled out my ID, And I said, I'm Private Investigator Gomez. I said, yeah, I'm that guy from the documentary Crime and Punishment that won the Emmy, exposing the corrupt NYPD for their ticket quotas and so forth. And I said, I just want you to know you're on film now. And I'm going to be the man that's going to make you wish you were a woman, because that's how hard I'm going to screw you. I'm going to screw you with a video, and I'm going to screw you with the law. You know what those cops did? I got them on video. Anybody want to see it, I'll send it to them. They got up, walked away, and got in their car and drove off. Okay? But you see, that was because it was me. But when they stopped me, what was that? I was just another Latino in a white Hummer driving 3 miles an hour looking for parking. Now, there was no reason to stop me, but they do this to our young brothers and sisters every day, and they pull them out their cars and search their cars and do illegal searches, and they're violating our rights. People, every time you stop, I want you to know now, listen good, that's $150,000 to $200,000 lawsuit every time you are stopped. If you've been stopped more than 10 times, then you are wrong, because you should be a millionaire, because they should be paying you for that, okay? And you've got to sue them, and you've got to file these complaints. Unfortunately, our young brothers and sisters are not knowing that, because they're not knowing their rights.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King said it best, you got to know your rights. You know, the reason why I'm inspired and do right to the station and I'm going to Washington, I'll tell you why. It's because I watched Martin Luther King give that famous speech, I Have a Dream. I watched his legislative changes. Then I saw what Malcolm was doing, and I said, wait a minute, these two brothers got it right. You got to take the fight to his house. You got to take it to the man's house. You got to take the legislation to them and show that we're going to show legislative change. We're not going to flip cars. We're not going to stand in the street and setting fire saying no justice, no peace. No, we're going to say no justice, no peace. Give us legislation, bill number 5947, the Department of Supreme Justice. That's how you scare them. And if you don't give it to us, then we're going to boycott your buses. Then we're going to take your money, because that's what Rosa Parks did. Why do you think Rosa Parks got African-Americans and minorities to ride in front of the bus? Why? Because she messed with the man's money.
Mm-hmm.
That demonstration caused them to lose millions. That was back then. Are any of us doing anything like that now? The answer is no. And that's sad, because you want to know something? That was demonstration without violence. That was demonstration with education. That was demonstration with focus. That's why I'm following that Martin Luther King path and that Malcolm path of speaking truth to power. And I need you people to do the same. Let's stand together.
I'm for it.
Yeah, Rashad, go ahead. You got something else you had to ask the brother behind that?
Yeah, I do. But first I want to ask if you or Michael wrote all that information down, because I'm sitting here at the hospital with my wife. You know, she's in here for that fractured bone.
No, I understand.
I don't have
you rebroadcast the podcast. That's no problem. We got it.
Yeah. Okay. And then I wanted to ask Mr. Gomez, how come some of these police officers who charge some of these young men who are not guilty of anything, how come they can't be sued?
They can be. The problem is that the city and the taxpayers give them immunity. So what happens is the city flips the bill. See what I mean? And who flips the bill? You pay. It's your money from your property tax, your money from your home, your money going up on the tolls, your money going up on the bus fares. It's you paying for it. You paying for it. Okay? And that's why in my bill, the Department of Civilian Justice, if you go on my website, Black Ops Crime Investigators, you will see that bill there. It makes them pay for it. It lets you be able to sue them, and it gives the ability. The Department of Civilian Justice is a new agency that myself and Frank Serpico proposed, which will investigate prosecutors for corruption, cops, and also correction officers, and also fire department officials. Because people don't talk about the fire department, but brothers and sisters, I got cases where firemen were setting fires on people's houses to make them look like heroes. I got cases where firemen were putting out fires and robbing people's houses while they were putting the fires out. Wow. And I'll even take it further. 9/11. Do you know how many firemen they found underneath the World Trade Center in the train station's bodies that had six to seven gold Rolexes on the corpse? Because they broke into a Rolex Toro jewelry store and robbed the store.
Mm-hmm.
And it was found on their corpse, but nobody talks about that. Hey, let's not bring the truth. Whoa. But how do I know that? Because I'm in a book called Fallout. Because guess who was standing in the corner when the first plane hit? It was me. Okay? And I'm in a book Fallout, and I testified in front of the federal EPA. All right? And I'm on page 83 to 86. All right? So, again, like I told you, I'm telling you the truth. I'm giving you reality. All right? You can make this change. Your state doesn't have a Department of Civilian Justice. I just got it approved in Connecticut. Now I got North Carolina now considering to put it in as well. I've been working on that. And now I got it in New York State on the bill number 5947. Again, bill number 5947 in New York State. Now me and Frank are trying to get it national so that we can have equal justice across the board. And the beautiful thing about the new agency that I'm proposing is that it will bring independent investigators who are not affiliated with the other law enforcement agencies, who are not affiliated with the other judges, or not affiliated with the other prosecutors. So in essence, we're going to go to Howard University and take the top black students and make them investigators. We're going to go to Yale University and take the top white students and make them investigators. We're going to get NYU and take the top investigators and make them students and make them investigators. So like that, they have that impartiality. This is what we're bringing, okay? And it will give it teeth, the agency, because the agency will be able to hold what they call administrative hearings to fire them and then recommend criminal charges on them as well. And the judges that we're going to appoint to be part of this agency, in God's name, that we get this passed, will be lawyers that were civil rights lawyers and have a record of proving people innocent for fighting for people's rights. Those are the people we make the judges. Because every lawyer has a Juris Doctorate, and every lawyer can be appointed as a judge. But we don't want every lawyer. We want lawyers that are not law enforcement and that are not former prosecutors, so that there's no loyalty to those people, only loyalty to the humanity of our country. That's
right,
what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's right. I'm telling you. Okay.
Next. This is George L. Vickers. I wanted to ask you a question. First of all, let me say I appreciate you coming on here and your zeal for this issue. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, sir.
A little bit about me. I'm a blind man. You know what I'm saying? And
my mom's blind too.
Oh yeah. Well, see, that means that you're a very descriptive and visual person. That's a good look.
Thank you, sir.
So what I'm trying to find out is that in what you're saying, and these people being, put in these places, young people being put in these places and held for long periods of time. You know what I mean? What is the, like, I know what the financial benefit is, you know, since they put the pen on the stock exchange, there's more brothers in chains than shoestring. So I know the benefit of the complex, but these in-state, keeping people in, like, the county jails, and what's the benefit of housing people in that?
It's a money business. It's a money business. And I will tell you that. First of all, I want you to watch and write this name down, Crime and Punishment. It's a documentary. You can see it on Hulu, or you can watch it on YouTube for free, because Starbucks sponsored for YouTube to put it on there for free. I won an Emmy for this documentary. There's no acting in it. You're going to see me with five other black officers exposing what this brother just asked me about what's the benefit. This documentary shows that New York State, and this is one of many states, generates more than $900 million a year on giving summonses to young minorities and bring them into the system. So the court fees that you got to pay and all of that, like if you ever got a summons, they charge you $150 for the summons for jaywalking, and then they charge you another $25 for court fees, you know? So it's the same thing, and they're giving these criminals some, and then they order the cops. This is where it gets crazy. They order the cops to write the 35 summonses every week. Now, how do I know that? Because what was I? A cop. And the first day I was on the job, they gave me this list. And I told them, wait a minute, we were just taught in the academy, you can't tell us to write ticket quotas because that's illegal. Oh, well, this is what it is. So you better get in and get in line, or if not, you're going to have a problem. And I said, well, I got a problem already. I was only 15 minutes as a cop, and this is what they're telling me. And then when I got my first assignment, I was sitting there brand new with my uniform black, all pressed, shoes shined, and they kicked me out in the street, and they said, we're going to get a felony today. And they grabbed eight of us, brand new rookies, and we're in the car, and this white sergeant, all right, he pulls up like a madman in front of a pizzeria and goes, throw those three black kids against the wall with those two Spanish kids. And I said, whoa, Sergeant, we just graduated yesterday, and we all know from the academy we have to have probable cause to stop these young kids. What are we stopping them for? They're in front of a pizzeria, and they're holding pizza. Are they holding an illegal pizza? I gave you an effing order. Flip them. They're going to be dirty. And I said, but sir, we just pulled up. They're holding a pizza. I have to write in my memo book what was my reason to stop them. It can't be that you just gave me an order to stop them because they're holding a pizza. Why are they holding an illegal pizza? What's the problem? And he looked at me and says, you don't follow my order, I'm going to get you fired. And then I looked at him, and all the cops in the back of the van were all brand new rookies. And I looked at him and I said, well, you just gave me an illegal order, so you can go F yourself. Because I'm not going to go violate their civil rights unless I got a legal reason to stop them. He said to the other officers, are you going to do that? Are you going to follow this guy? And they all looked at me and they told the sergeant, you gave us an illegal order. He said, what, you all together? I says, oh, I'm sorry, Sergeant, but guess who their squad leader was in the academy? It was me. and these guys know that I walk one way, and so do they. So he said, you all going to get effing screwed. I'm going to suspend you all. Now notice, this is our first day on the job, and I destroyed my career within the first 30 minutes because I wouldn't violate three black kids and two Spanish kids' civil rights. This is what this documentary will show, and it will show you the money they generate. Brother, $900 million a year is a lot of money, and that's for New York City. Would you like to know what New York State generates on tickets a year on blacks and Hispanics, on our, the backs of our youth? $1.3 billion. So does that answer your question on what the justification is for?
It does. It does. And I'd like to follow that up with one more thing, because I have been doing a lot of work on, you know, the legal system and stuff like that, and, you know, blind people in that system. But I wrote a song called A Double-Minded Man. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, is what it says in the book. And I find that it appears to me that police officers are of a double mind, because just like you said, there are rules and things that you learn in the book, and you are supposed to be upholding the law.
That's right.
And yet still there's this rule book that says if you don't do what I tell you to do, I won't back you up, you won't get the support that you need when you need it, blah, blah, blah. In other words, you either on this team or you're on no team. And to me, after you've taken that oath, you know, and I got the oath in the song, but after you've taken that oath, it seems like you would be of a double mind to even be a part of that group of people that's going to go against a legal order. Illegal order.
And you know what? And see, but you got to understand something, brother. It doesn't matter what city or what state you're in. It's all the same, this one thing. And you know what it is? To get along, you have to go along. Let me say that again. To get along, you have to go along. That's why you got Spanish cops screwing over Spanish kids. You got black cops destroying black kids' lives. Why? Because to go up to get along, they have to go along with the routine, brother. And this is what, when you stand up like me And when you stand up like Frank Serpico, who got 876 cops fired and arrested back in 1971, that's what the movie Serpico is about all these cops on the take. And they were black, white, Italian, Spanish, they were every nationality, Irish you could think of, all right? And he got shot in the face. They will kill that brother, okay? Mm-hmm. Me, they come at me all the time. But like I tell them, my address, 2820 Milton Road. I only live three blocks from the cemetery, and I sleep with Colt 45. Come knock on my door. I said, because I trust in God, Jesus, and Colt 45. And I told them, I said, so come see me. But you see, not many brothers can say that and back that. And that's because what scares them is the same thing that scared them about King. I know my rights. I'm not scared to talk. And I screw them like Shakespeare said. The pen is mightier than the sword. So I've taken my pen and write it to legislation, and this is how I'm hammering them. I'm not flipping cars. I'm not burning buildings and robbing stores and saying that's a demonstration. No, I'm taking my First Amendment American right and writing that bill. And this is what I want you all to do. And if you don't know how to do it, brothers, sisters, call me. Go on my website. Go into the library. They will show you. You can do it. Trust me. Let me tell you one thing. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a pissed off American who knows his rights. This country was built on revolution. This country was built on people like me. When they wrote the Constitution, John Hancock, Franklin, John Adams, all these guys, they stood up, they raised their glasses, and they toasted to treason because they know they were all going to be hanged for writing that damn document. But you see, that's what this country's built on. That's why we have the right to write a bill. Brothers and sisters, we ain't doing it. Like I said, the days of Martin Luther King are here. We need to bring that back. We need to bring that back because that was focused demonstrations. Rosa Parks' movement to not get on the bus should have been echoed throughout history of look what you can do with a peaceful demonstration and just not by using them. And I call it the man, all right, by not using the man's transportation system. She buckled them. They said, yeah, the blacks can ride in the front. Come on, man. Hell yeah, sit any way you want. Why? Because you took away their money.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that, people. How many of us that we rode a scooter to work or took a bike or a bus or just jumped in a car? Hell, sit on your girlfriend's lap if you got to. Five in a car, do what you got to do. But if you don't take their transportation, trust me, they'll give you your justice. Mess with the man's money. Because that's what this country is built on. Capitalism, people. Capitalism.
Right.
Now, Brother Manuel, have you done any bills about recidivism? Because it seems like it's a vicious cycle. Young brothers go to jail. They can't get a job. They can't get housing. And so it's a system put in place for young men to fail and have no opportunity in life. Are you doing anything with that?
I'm glad you said that. Yes, I wrote a bill called Fresh Start, which now let's say guys who get arrested and go to jail for 7-8 years, right? Okay. I mean, they go to jail and they come out. Should your life be ruined for the entire eternity? No, because if you can't get somebody, a brother and sister, to become a productive entity, what are they going to go back to? They're going to go back to crime because they got to survive. They don't want to be on welfare. They're going to have to hustle. So what do? You give them a chance. If they keep their record clean for 7 years, they can put in for what they call a good guy letter and clean the name and get a job. Okay? It'll still show they have a record, but it'll show that they've become a productive entity, that they've made that change. We have nothing in our system that does that. Nothing. And this is why I wrote this new program called Fresh Start, which gives people a fresh start. And that's what it does. That's what it does. And it gives me a butt. But you have to stay clean. You have to be crime-free for at least 7 years to get that letter. You see what I'm saying? You got to show us that you have to show the public that you've gone straight. And then, because now you got people going and getting locked up and becoming recidivists. And they're not becoming recidivists. They want to. Why? because they got no choice, man. Brothers ain't getting jobs. Brothers like, well, I got arrested for jumping the train. Then they don't want to hire them. They don't give them a chance to clean it. They don't give them a chance to improve their lives. This is what I'm working on.
Now, are you also working in the schools? Because the information that you have delineated to us this evening should be taught to each parent so that parents know how to protect their children, children know how to protect themselves, and you know, because this goes on in schools, teachers are abusing young people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not an education system. Hopefully the new mayor is going to put in some places things to change. He's talking a good game. Let's see what
you're talking about. Eric Adams from New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Eric personally. Let me tell you one thing about Eric. When I wrote the Clear Your Good Name Act, which was to clean the records of people who were wrongfully arrested, Eric went with me to Washington, D.C. to back that bill. And this was back when he was a sergeant. So he sat on a train with my ugly butt for 6 hours from New York to Washington, D.C., and he went there, and he's the one who founded the 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement, and they were standing up against what I was talking about. So I'm hoping the brother's going to do the right thing. I know him for that. I know I have nothing negative to say about him in that sense because I know him for standing up for what's right. I think he will, and I pray in God's name that he won't. I mean that he will. He won't go bad. He'll stay good like the man that I know him to be. But I told Eric, as my brother from another mother, stay the path, and I'll back you. Go off the path, I'm going to hammer you. So, you know, I carry that double-edged blade because, you know, when it comes to politics, power sometimes corrupts people. So I think it'll corrupt him, though. I think he has, you know, the desire to continue to move forward and to be the best mayor that New York has ever had. That's his goal, and I know that personally from him. So I'm praying in God's name and to Allah that we have a mayor that will do the right thing.
Well, I know one of the most important things in my life is transcendental meditation. And I know Eric Adams practices transcendental meditation. Are you doing anything to expand the consciousness of these young prisoners and young boys out on the street? Because, again,
I'm doing it right now with you, with this podcast. We're doing it right now. We're going on radio shows. We're doing it right now, speaking at schools. So if you need me to come and speak to a school or come somewhere, I'll go. And I don't care how far it is or where it is, I'll go. Just give me 24 hours to get there. That's all I ask. You know, but this is how we're doing it. We're doing it grassroots. You know, podcasts like this are very important because, you know, we're giving out some serious information that people need to know. And you know what the sad thing is? This is a sad thing, my brother. Your first 10 amendments are taught to you in high school, but people are not really listening. And I'm going to tell you the same thing, brother. I was in high school, and I got taught the first 10 amendments like we all did in high school. And you know what? I didn't listen either. I studied for that test, but it didn't sink in. You know when it sank in? When my young black child got stopped in the streets.
Right.
Then it sucked. And it sunk in. So now what I'm trying to do is get it to sink into these young people before they have to learn the hard way like I did when it happened to my son. You know?
Well, I want to say thank you because from your conversation, I know that you're doing a good job and people need to have this information. So thank you very much for putting yourself on the line and bringing
this
information.
Are you the blind man, sir?
No, I'm Michael Collins.
Okay.
You mean the co-host on the podcast.
Yeah,
well,
thank you. George, yeah, that's George. Oh, George, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, yeah.
Well, George, I just want to say, you know, I hope I made it visual enough for you because my mom is visually impaired. And if you need help, George, to help you make your home more visually friendly, like, you know, I bought my mom a microwave called Toshiba Genie that – she talks to it and says, bake a baked potato, and Alexa microwaves it for her.
How old is your mom?
My mom is 75, you know.
Okay.
And somehow she made Alexa turn to Alex because I don't know how she did that. the Alexa machine, she said it's named so much, it switched to Alex. So don't ask me how mom did that. I don't know. But Alex is running the microwave in the kitchen. So she has one of those little square boxes, and she talks to it, and it might, and there's a lot of, you know, phones and things out there for the visually impaired. I'm assuming you guys know about it. But if you need help, you know, let me know. And like I said, my number is 347-867-6242. And that's for anybody out there in the U.S. You call me anytime. And like I said, Brian, I know you have a visual parity, and it's always my honor to help someone like you because it touches home.
Well, let me tell you, man, I was talking about helping you. You know what I'm saying? Because, quite frankly, I really do have a soft spot for our young brothers and going into the machine that is our prison system, you know.
Yeah.
And there's different segments of that, you know, large caterpillar that is just eating our youth. You know what I'm saying? Because the goal is to get them in there because it is, like you said, on a state level, it is financially beneficial on a federal level. Or on a personal level, like I say, since the stock exchange, there are more brothers in chains than shoestrings. They build everything that we used to have a trade for is built by the prisoners in the pen, and they get no money for that. And it's just free labor. It is extended slavery. And if
you're right,
if what my man Manuel here says is true, then they are drafting people. For this, people are not enlisting, not doing wrong, not causing a problem, not starting a rap sheet, not even having that intent, but they are being driven into this complex and then utilized wrongly for the long term.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that most people don't know, and it's a quota system that nobody dares talks about, and I'm going to talk about it here tonight, and I'm going to give it to you right now. The prosecutors nationwide, all the criminal prosecutors, get evaluated on the amount of convictions. Let me say that again. They get evaluated to move up in their salary and in position on how many convictions they have. They're supposed to be evaluated on the amount of justice they bring, not on how many people I lock up. And I have friends who are prosecutors, and they told me this. And I know two prosecutors that are actually doing the right thing, but they're suffering because they're doing the right thing. So I'll give you an example. If a prosecutor has 100 cases and 80 of them are innocent and he lets 80 of them go and then convicts 20 of them, the bosses will come up to you and says, what's your problem? Why didn't you get that person to take a plea? Why didn't you get that person to take a plea? And you want to know something? And you know how they make y'all young brothers and sisters take a plea? They make you take a plea, but you know how? It's called by stacking. S-T-A-C-K-I-N-G, stacking. They stack the same charge on you. So let's say you jump the train. They'll put the jump the train charge five different ways. So now you are having five charges on you for that one offense. So now you're looking at 5 years in jail. You're like, oh, smoke, I'm not doing this. Holy shit, I won't do this. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to take a plea. Hell, and that's what they do. So many. Our system is built 95% on pleas. But I'm going to share something else to you. About 2 weeks ago, I had a case against me, and it was dismissed, right? And again, like I told you, I wear a spy watch. I wear video cameras and stuff like that. So what happened? About a year and a half ago, when COVID was at its peak in New York and Queens, I was in a building in Queens getting a statement from a lady, all right, on a fraud case. And then when I came down, I got into an altercation with three men who were telling me, what am I doing in the building? Now, I have all this on video. I'm dressed in a pair of slacks, nice shirt. I'm holding a clipboard which says affidavits. In the video, you see me pull out my ID, show them. The guy says, F you, I don't give a damn. I hate investigators. I hate cops. And this big Spanish guy, what does he do? He spits in my face. Now, gentlemen, blind or not, if anybody spits in your face, we all swing.
Swinging, that's right.
All right, do I get an amen to that? Because I know
amen
we all
on
swing.
That. Amen.
All right, because there ain't no man going to stand by for that. Am I right? Then not
that's
only
right.
Spit
that's
in
right.
my face, he pushed me. So now I grabbed this brother by the neck, slammed him, and now two other guys jump on top of me. So it's three against one. Thank God for the United States Army training. I wanted to fight. All right? But I turned around and called 911 because I had it on video. Guess who they arrested that day? Me.
You.
They arrested me, and they didn't even look at my video showing them assaulting me first. They didn't even care because one of the guys was friends with the cop. He said, take that motherfucker in. Excuse my language. Take him in. And guess what happened? That's exactly what the guy told the cop. He told that same profanity. Please excuse the epithet. And he arrested me for 17 hours. And I got to witness the injustice, inhumanity, the disgustingness, and the filth that was going on in the Queens criminal court. And I got to see the blacks torturing the blacks and the Hispanics torturing the blacks and denying them toilet paper and denying them food and water. I couldn't believe this. I was like, I'm in America? This is going on? But you want to know something? I won that case because I had it on video. And then when I was walking through there, one of the guys, one of the correctional officers, I had my mask on, and people were begging for a mask. Back then, like I said, this was a year and a half ago, this was the peak of COVID in Queens. It was the epicenter for COVID in New York was Queens. And I'm the only one wearing a mask, and people are begging. They're not even giving them masks. People coughing, spitting everywhere. It was horrible. And this one guy, one correction officer, and I'll never forget him, Correction Officer Jones, he says, aren't you that guy from the Crime and Punishment documentary? Aren't you the one that captured the guys who stabbed that kid to death, Junior? And I said, yes. He said, this man's not a criminal. I said, no, I'm not. And he says, I know you got evidence because I've been watching you. And I said, yes, I do. And that man treated me like a human being. But in that whole cell, in that whole area, there was only one person treated nicely, and that was me. And I sat back realizing what our brothers and sisters are going, and I saw it, and I was like, my God. And I'm glad that I went through that injustice. I'm glad that I experienced that because you need to put that other brother's shoes on to really understand what's going on in the system. You know, they say you want to judge humanity and society, spend a day in its jail.
That's right.
And you're
that's right.
Your brother, Emmanuel, one thing that you haven't touched on is that we are still under slavery. We're still under the 13th Amendment, and that says if a man is arrested or goes to jail, that he can be treated as a slave. So I hear what you're saying, but it's still in the books. And so we have all these corporations, and I mean you can name corporations like Microsoft, all the types of corporations. They're using prison labor at 28 cents an hour to make the products that we buy for $700. So, I mean, Apple, all these companies are taking advantage of this. And until we get that law off the books, until we stop using and get rid of slavery altogether, because as long as that law is on the books, these corporations are slick and they will make brothers and sisters, Hispanics, any minority, they will make them their slave. And they will get that cheap labor because it's all about money and cheap labor. And so this is just another way that they're trying to get around the system.
And I want to answer that. Again, I answered it, but you don't even realize it. Remember when I told you about the legislation I wrote with Frank Serpico called the Department of Civilian Justice? It's bill number 5947 in New York State. Again, it's called Department of Civilian Justice. You can look it up on my website, Black Ops Spy Investigators. I included the Department of Corrections for reasons like what you said. And I also included the Department of Corrections to have the Department of Civilian Justice the ability to investigate them as well as the cops, the COs, because I witnessed people being denied medical attention. And let me say that again. Being denied medical attention bleeding. Being denied medical attention with a broken hand. Being denied medical attention in COVID. I witnessed that for those 18 hours of my descendants into hell. It was like Dante journey into the ninth level. Well, I went straight into the ninth level when I went into the Queens Criminal Court. And I saw it. and I saw it with people call. I tell you, it is through the blessings and grace of God that I did not catch COVID that day, because again, I was in there and I must have saw about 300 to 400 people, and not one of those brothers or sisters had a mask, and many of them were asking for it, and they were all laughed at or they just walked away. This is why that slave labor, this is why that denial of medical treatment, which is cruel and unusual punishment, which falls under the Eighth Amendment, okay? Again, the Eighth Amendment is about cruel and unusual punishment. That is denying someone that right to medicine, the right to medical treatment, the right to not be treated as a slave and push that slave labor. This is why we need that Department of Civilian Justice, so that person in jail can make that complaint, so that person in jail can make that complaint. That's why we had that, and I'm going to take it back. I'm going to show my age. That's why we had that revolt in Attica Prison in New York State, because of what was going on there. But that's going on in all the jails. Because I've been on 140 cases and I've been seeing all these jails. And let me tell you something. They're still calling us the N-word. They're still calling us spics. They're still doing all that stuff. I've been there. I've seen it. I witnessed it. Brother, I'm a light-skinned Hispanic. I walked in there, showed my card. The guy didn't even look at my name. It says Manuel Gomez. He goes, oh, you're here to see that spec? I said, yeah, by the way, I am. But you want to know something? The correction officer didn't know I was recording him. See what I'm saying? But then when I said he said it, nobody believed me. I says, great, no problem. Is everybody done with their statement? They go, yeah. I says, great. Now let me play my video and show you all committed perjury. Like I told everybody, if you're going to screw me, it's going to be a sister with red lipstick. It ain't going to be the system. Okay? Because you've got to record, you've got to protect and stand up for your rights. And that's why I said, again, we have to have that Department of Civilian Justice, because you brought up a valid point when you talked about free slave labor. That's exactly right, brother. You nailed it right on the head, except you left out the part of denying you medical attention. And you left out the inhumanity of what's going on in there. And the widespread disease that's going on in there. It's horrible. But like I said, I got to witness it for 18 hours. And I won my case. Why did I win? Because I had it on video. But if I didn't have it on video, forget about it. They would have had me put away for defending myself. Even in the papers, they put that I choked the super. High-profile prime investigator choked the super. And I told them I choked the other guy. I choked the super. And I was honest about it. Everybody laughs, and I'm just being 100% honest. But that's what I'm saying, people. We got to do this legislation. And if it's not mine, it's yours, write them. You know, I mean, you're talking about a lot of stuff with education, and you know what you have right now, sir? You have the justification for the basis of a legislative proposal. Put it down on paper. Call me, and let's work it out. Let's make that bill.
Okay.
All right. Brother Ishmael, you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yo, yo. I wasn't talking to him. I just lost a nephew the other day.
I saw it.
Yeah, man.
I
seen him one day. The next day, I was at my granddaughter's game, and my nephew told me, man, that he died, man. My daughter reminded me, man, that about the call, and I appreciate that, man. You know, brother, listen, we need. I'm a paralegal. I do anger management with our kids and stuff. You know, and
yeah.
I appreciate things that you do. I actually did a federal lawsuit when they beat my son up, because I wanted to be a lawyer, but I had a couple kids, but I ended up going to school later on in life. You know, my wife, I got
mm-hmm.
married. My wife made me go back to school, and that was the best thing that I did.
Amen.
My thing is right now, man, it's just this addiction and this gun violence. You know, I teach anger management. I'm trying to, anybody, man, that's trying to stop that, I would, man, make copies of the paperwork that I have, and I would send it to you. Because it's going too much, man. I ain't never. We fought when we was young. These kids
yep.
had a shooting, running, and they done shot a little girl in the house. It's just crazy, man. This world is we in the last days. We all know that. But I appreciate this show. I'm glad my daughter reminded me. But I just was sitting here just thinking, man, that, you know, what's going to happen at the funeral. And, you know, it's just rough, man. I'm tired of seeing these young kids, man, dying.
Well, you know what? Don't let his life go in vain. Do me
no,
a favor. Don't let his life go in vain. You know what you do? Like I said, write a legislative proposal. Write something to correct the injustice in the area. And what was your nephew's name?
Tyree.
Call it the Tyree Act. And it's to bring change within the guns and stuff. Write those bills, because this is how you keep his memory. This is how you save other lives. And this is how we teach the other young brothers and sisters. And like I said, my condolences to your family with all my sincerity. And this is the time of year that no one should lose a child. But I will tell you one thing. Do not let that child go in vain. Please.
Oh, no, I'm not, man. I'm a fighter. As soon as I found out, I hit the street. And, you know, I talked to my sister. You know, she went to the funeral, man. I'm trying to get some brothers together, man, so we can try to hit the streets. And
where did this happen in, if I may ask? Where did it happen in?
I live in Kingston, New York.
Kingston? All right, brother.
Yeah.
Let me know. Let me see what I can do to help you out in that case. Because if the cops ain't doing nothing, we're going to work together. But you're going to owe me a Spanish cup of coffee, and I don't want that Colombian stuff. All right?
Okay. So, I might come see you. Because I like travel.
Well, brother, I'll come see you. Don't worry about it. Or you can come see me. I gave you my number, but I'll give it again. 347
I didn't write nothing down. I can get it from Forrest, man. I didn't write nothing down.
Yeah,
you know,
I got it.
I definitely will contact you.
Sure.
Definitely,
and because I want you to be careful going in the street. And if you're going to be going in the street, then you better buy that damn spy watch. Because you're going to need it. Because a lot of times in cases like that, people tell you who the murderer is, but then they don't want to go to testify. So that's why you need that watch. All right?
No,
Trust me, you don't want your word against
theirs. I've been doing this, man, for a long time. And people watch me. So if I'm in the streets, man, people, man, got eyes on me and take videos and all that. You know.
I know, but you need to cover yourself, sir. That's all I'm saying.
Definitely. I always have somebody, man, that's got my back.
All right, but I don't want you getting your back. I want you getting that video. It's two different things.
Yeah.
Brother can get your back and knuckle up. I want the video. You understand what I'm saying? Because the video is going to help you.
I do the videos, definitely.
All right.
I do the videos. Right. But, I mean, you're 100% right. And my family always say I got to be careful, you know. And I'm a warrior.
But you and I old school.
Yeah. I'm ex-Panther, man, and I like doing the job that I do, and I don't have any fear because I trust in Allah. I done got beat up
same
a
way.
Whole bunch of, but I'm good. But my I gotta watch myself though.
Please do, because we need more brothers like you to teach these young whippersnappers what time it is. Okay.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, man.
I'm
trying to wait to this funeral, man. I'm gonna be talking to these cats because I want to know what happened.
Yeah, but you want to know something? The best time, and let me give you a piece of advice, is record who comes to the funeral. You want to know why? Because a lot of times the killer will come to the funeral to see what information he can learn, to see who's being suspected. So take pictures of everyone at the funeral,
because
where that brother's going to show up. Trust me.
I've
solved five
that.
Cases like that. Trust me what I'm saying.
I know that.
Okay? All right. And be careful. Don't be putting yourself out there. Because if they think you're close, they're going to come up and kill you. So just be careful on how you do it, please. All right?
Yeah, no. I'm a wise man, man. I do things.
I understand.
So, but I appreciate that. If I have anything, I'd have somebody with me, you know, or somebody around.
I understand. Yeah, but somebody better record, and that's all I'm saying, brother. Okay?
Yes.
May God bless
sir.
You and your family, and my condolences to them. My most sincere.
Yes, thank you. And we'll stay in touch.
Anytime, 24/7, call me. I don't sleep much as it is, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, you get,
I don't need the man.
Yeah, you gotta get your brother Gomez in order for you to be the warrior and be strong. You gotta every now and then now you gotta get that 8 hours. You know what I'm saying?
I'll try, man. I will pay to get 8 hours. I'm lucky if I get five, but
well,
it's okay.
Take the five. You know, we need you around, man. You know, because sleep is very important, especially as we get older. But let me say this to you, brother Michael. You there, brother Rashad? Are you still there?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Okay, because y'all know I got to go to the event. All right, because y'all going to chair from this moment on. Brother Gomez, I'm going to reach back out to him and have him come back at least once every month on this podcast.
Be my honor.
Yes, sir, and be my honor, too. I mean, you and I are going to talk more because there's a lot of things I want to talk to you off the network here. But, brother, I'm going to let now Brother Rashad and Brother Mike, y'all can chair it. I'm about to sign off, and I'm going to give you a call next week, my Brother Gomez. I want to thank you on behalf of Grown Folks Talk and Express Yourself for coming on. I got an event I have to go to, but next time you have my full 2 hours because it's almost like that now. So if need be, we can do the Q&A because I don't know. Before I go off. Jay, is anybody pressing number one with a question for Brother Gomez or any of the brothers that are participating on here?
Not at this time.
Not at this time, okay. Remember, family out there that's listening, hit the number one button if you have questions to ask Brother Gomez because he's long-winded like me, okay? But I submit, I let the brother have the form tonight because I invited him on. So he's here from now. Tonight he's welcome to stay to the very end, you know. But on that note, the Q&A will go with the form. That's why I had this form with the four brothers I know will ask relevant questions for the listeners out there. So I'm going to let Brother Michael and Brother Rashad and Brother Ishmael and Brother Giorgio, they're in the wings. I'm going to let them take over. So peace and blessings to you, Brother Gomez. I'm going to reach out to you next week and because I got to run out. And I'm going to let the other two qualified. Everybody on here is qualified, but I'm going to let the other two brothers take the helm. And you take care of yourself, and you be safe out here, brother.
Hey, thank you. And mate, listen, and I hope you all get your Christmas wishes and hope God keeps you all safe. And everybody be careful with that new damn COVID virus. I mean, because I just got over bronchitis. You can hear me coughing every now and then. I apologize. But I was, sick for like 2 weeks. I had bronchitis and walking pneumonia.
That's what I said, brother. Get your rest. And we got Brother Rashad now. He's a naturopath now. You give you a little protocol. Go ahead and follow it because the brother been doing it for 38 years. I always bring health on the program too, you know. So you
thank
can stay
you
on with the other brothers because we don't depart the 8:59 up here on the line, brother. But peace and blessings to you. I'm going to stay in contact with you, Brother Gomez, because the other four are like family. We always talk. You know, so
sure.
You part of the family too. Grown folks talk and express yourself, and I got to reach out to your girl. I sent you a text. I know that you missed some of my texts, but we're going to have Sister Gloria J. Brown come on in the future too. You know, so next time you holler at her, let her know you on Grown Folks Talk. And when they reach out, tell her, come on, it's relevant because, you know, we have quite a few listeners, you know.
I will. Again, thank you for this opportunity, and I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. So stay on with the brothers. Y'all right at
you're
going to
finish it up.
Yeah, you're going to finish it up, and I'll talk to you soon, my brother. Rashad and Mike, it's all yours. Brother Ish and Brother George,
yes,
I'll be talking to you, brothers. Y'all take care.
All right.
Peace and blessings. Okay.
Take care. Peace and blessings.
Okay. I just want to say this. Brother Gomez, that was some of the best information I've heard. Now, I heard you on BAI one time. As a matter of fact, I think it was last week. You want BAI?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been on a couple of times, Law of the Land.
Yeah.
And, she calls me when I'm doing something new. She always calls me when she finds out I got some new legislation coming out there. So I've been on there four times for four different legislative proposals. So it's a good show. You know, but like I said, I'm always willing to do things like this because I'm trying to reach. Even if I reach just one person tonight, even if I inspire one person tonight to write a bill and know his rights, that's what means it to me, you know, that I can get through to that one person. And that's what's important about doing shows like yours. You know, we got to have that grassroots connection, brothers.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about
important.
It. I'm just hoping everybody took heed and to share this way with their family members, especially the youth. They need to share this information. We got to somehow get this information all over the place towards. I tell you, having knowledge of things like this can save us a lot of headaches, you know, and we just need to take heed. But anyway, I thank you so much, my brother. I thank you so much.
That's my
Michael,
pleasure.
You have anything? Michael, you have anything you
want to
share?
Yeah, I'd like to ask the brother. I know you talked a lot of things tonight, but I know you talked about the camera, the watch. But what is the one takeaway that everybody should start doing?
I'm sorry, say that last part. What is the what one? I lost
one
that last part.
That everybody should start doing.
Honestly, if I had everybody to do one thing tonight, is buy that spy watch from spyassociate.com. That would be the one takeaway. If you want to forget everything else that says, buy it, because it will help you, it will save you, it will protect you. It has saved me. It saved my life from that jail. It saved me.
Yeah.
It saved me, and it saved my son. And if it saved my son, it will save you. It's like when I bought it for my son. What's $100? Gentlemen, we spend more than that taking a girl out for a date. Come on, let's keep it real. All right? We spend more than $100 on a pair of sneakers. Well, at least these kids do. I don't. But, I mean, you know, all right? Because I ain't doing that. I'm too old for that. All right? But the bottom line is that what's $100 when it's your life? Remember,
that's right.
A $100 watch will get you $100,000. Let me say that again. A $100 watch will get you $100,000 for that illegal car stop, for that illegal stop. Please, when that cop stops you, take away what I'm saying right now. Say, officer, what's that probable cause? What is the probable cause for stopping me? I'm just walking. But click your watch while he's coming to you. Click your watch while he's talking to you. He's not going to know you're recording him. Record him. And don't be telling your girlfriends and everybody else you got this watch. Because
they're gonna tell.
All right, yeah. So keep your mouth quiet, because the only one should know you got the watch is me, you, and God, and all the brothers on the show, Brother Michael, and all of us. Other than that, get the watch, protect yourself. And then the last thing I'd like you to take away from our show tonight, man, know your First Amendment right. Know your right.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you know those first eight amendments. I'm not even saying all 10, just the first 8. You know the first 8. I promise you, you will put fear into them. Because knowing your rights will empower you. Look at my man Malcolm X. He went to jail and didn't know nothing. He read, he learned his rights. He became a Muslim. He turned out there and started studying and reading, and look how he became. He came from, yo, what's up, my brother? To being articulate and say, from the superfluous. You see, he went from what's up to the superfluous. That's what I'm talking about. You can do that. He said it perfectly. Knowledge is power. Martin Luther King said it perfectly, and Gandhi too. We got to kill them with peaceful demonstrations, with legislation. You know what I would like for us to do somehow? Set some kind of demonstration where we don't ride the bus for a week. Watch what this nation does.
Yes, show our power. Yes, show our power. That's right.
Take away those hundreds of billions of dollars they make from us getting on the train, and I promise you, why do you think COVID scared them so much? Because people were staying home, they weren't riding the train, and they were losing billions.
Uh-huh.
All right?
But
imagine if we do it to them deliberately.
Strike.
What?
At some point, the workers in this country need to go on a general strike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, this country is built on what? One word.
Yeah.
Revolution.
Revolution, that's right.
This is Giorgio, can you hear me?
That's right.
Yeah.
So listen, I know that, and I hear you talking, and, you know, just I hate to use the word, bad guy advocate, but I am an advocate. And I have been watching the news. I haven't been under a rock or nothing like that. And I know you've been watching it, too. I know you ain't been under a rock either, you know, with the legislation you're putting out. Shout out to H.R. 40. Shout out to H.R. 40. Look it up. Shout out to H.R. 40. Still on the books. But I also noticed that they don't, you know, I've seen the videos where it appeared to me clearly that the police officer was in the wrong. Or clearly that the evidence shown was cut and dry. You know what I mean? I'm not sure if they paying people off, like you say, passing out checks or whatever. But what I see is when they go to the box, when they go to the court case, you know what I'm saying? Even though I'm looking at the evidence, I'm leaning one way, and it seems like everybody I know that way, it go the other way. And then everybody just got, you know, everybody get mad. Then we have a protest, and nobody looks to find out who's dropping off these freaking bricks. Got these old buildings in Washington. Ain't nobody building nothing new. Why is there all these bricks out in front of the buildings? You know what I'm saying? So these things are organized and orchestrated. You know what I'm saying? And
yes.
So, I mean, even though I got a watch and it's videotaping and I got the evidence and it's cut and freaking dry, I still see people suffering from injustice going the other way. So your thing about the courts and the judges and things like that, man, is right on time with what I'm thinking. But I didn't know that there was any recourse against judges. You're talking about this gentleman got 48 reversals?
Yep.
That's ridiculous.
But, brother, that's just one judge. I've got judges with 70 and 80 of them in Virginia and Washington, D.C. I got right there's a New York Times article. I mean, a Wall Street Journal article showed 131 federal judges sat and listened to cases that they all had financial interests on. So they were manipulating the case so they could win. And that's in the Wall Street Journal. Yeah, but no, but nothing happened to them, brother. Nothing happened to them. I got a judge was called Sparkman versus Stump, and the judge ordered a 22-year-old girl to get sterilized. And then the appellate court ruled that the judge was improper. But what happened to the judge? Nothing. They sterilized.
Was she sterilized?
Yes, yes.
So they
go on my website. Go on my website, and you'll see the article and the case. I put the case number, section, the page, everything.
Wow.
So you look it up. Like I said, the truth is the hardest thing to believe, and that's what scared everybody about Malcolm, because Malcolm X was giving you the truth.
Okay.
He was telling it the way it was. That's why they executed him.
Yeah.
Same way,
that's
Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King, they executed him.
Right?
And I'm a light-skinned brother who's treated like worse than a black brother.
And that's what I'm saying. So, because from what I've seen, you know, and being a blind man, I know that sounds stupid, huh? But from what I've seen, it intrigues me that this whole racial divide thing is still, like, riding as high as it is, even inside the cultures.
Brother,
and you specifically said brown brothers and black brothers get put in jail wrongly and held wrongly. You specifically said that, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. I was in there with them for 18 hours, and I saw many of them asking for medical attention. And let me say that, screaming for medical attention for 18 hours and not getting it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, and when I finally got in front of that judge after 18 hours, I told the judge, Your Honor, I have a video. So they released me on my own recognizance. But they charged me with like 7 charges, you know, and I won all of them because my video don't lie. In America, if a man has hit you or assaults you and you were hit first, you have the right to defend yourself.
That's your
human right. Okay, I don't care what country you're in, but the bottom line is, you know, if I didn't have that, brother, I would have been had the book thrown at me like you can't even imagine, because they despised me because I won the Emmy for that documentary exposing the ticket quotas and exposing how many blacks that they are giving summonses to. You know, I got into it with a cop in front of one police plaza, and it was a black detective who was telling black mothers and Spanish mothers, if and spread your legs to me. I won't arrest your children. I got this brother playing CeeLo. Playing CeeLo on video. It's on my website. Look it up. Black Ops Fire Investigators. All right, you'll see him playing CeeLo to let a black kid out of his police car in uniform. Now, for people who don't know what CeeLo is, that means throwing the dice.
Dice.
And he was gambling in the street. And it's on video on my website. You'll click on it. It'll say Black Ops Prime Investigators. It'll say click here for breaking news and videos. And you scroll down the news stories on my cases, and you'll see it.
Wow.
The video, I posted it up. I got that guy suspended. But why should he be suspended? He should have been fired. He should have been locked up. You holding people. And then here's the thing. This is the scary part about this case. The guy had 1,000 police arrests. Let me say that again. Over 1,000 police arrests. Now, you tell me how the heck a cop who only got 15 years on the job got 1,000 police arrests. Now, ask me how many were black by this black detective. Would you like to know? 643, and they were from the ages of 12 years old and 18 years old. 643, this black man locked up. Children. Now you tell me, should he still be on the job?
Wow. Yeah.
This is why I write this legislation. Please go on my website, Black Ops Pride Investigators, and you will see it, my brother. And you will see the videos where I'm, like I said, it was on Channel 11. It was on Channel 7. Like I tell people, my word, don't believe me, but you have no choice but to believe my video. Well, guess what I have? I have it on video. And he's there saying it. I'm throwing the hard way. I'm throwing the hard way. Let this brother out. You got to see this. And the kids are right there in the police car. And the kids are screaming, you about to come home. You about to come home. About to release you. That's what the cop is doing. Come on, man. And this is 2020. We doing this?
That's sinful.
Come on.
Man. That's really sinful.
Nah, it's reality. See,
yeah,
when you go upstate Buffalo, New York, you see this all the time. You know, Floyd, they go, oh, Floyd got stepped on his throat and killed. Yeah, it's sad what happened to him. But I got videos of other brothers who got their throat stepped on and didn't die. That's a regular thing out here. Leave me. It's a regular thing. The only difference with Floyd was he said the three magic words that affected everybody. You know what those three words was? Mama.
What's that?
Mama. Mama. Before he died. He was screaming for the only person that all of us know will bring us justice. All of us know there will be a safe zone, and the word mama. And that's why it resonated with so many people. And you want to know something? What have they done in the Floyd Act? Really nothing. This is why I said we got to fight.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't do nothing.
Again, thank you for everyone for taking the time. I'm sorry if I was long-winded, but you want to know something? Tonight was my intro to all of you, and I think you needed to all of you to hear this.
Yes,
so
thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother. I need you. Yeah, we need you, brother, and we need that long wind, believe me.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You know,
can you please pass this radio show we just did right now? Can you pass it on to all your friends? Tell them to post it up on their Facebook. Let them hear us talking because they need to hear this. Please, it's important. What we put out tonight is serious.
Yeah, I'm
and I like that brother to shout out HR 40. It's HR 40. Shout it out, man. We need to back bills like that too. We need to back bills like that. That's what I'm talking about. See what I'm saying? Please. And that means he got HR means House of Representatives. I mean, the bill is already in Congress. Let's start backing these people. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right, my brother?
That's right.
You're right.
Yes.
Well, again,
okay.
You know, I appreciate you guys. And thank you so much. I look forward to working with you. And for my brothers, for other mothers, may God bless you both, all of you. And and I hope you stay safe.
Yeah, you as
thank
well,
you.
Brother.
Likewise. Likewise, my brother.
Thank you, brother.